Good morning. I'm just going to give you a disclaimer before I start. I'm just fragile right now, so I got to just let it go. I was just attacked this week, and that's how life is sometimes. So this is a good, it was just one thing after another, and so I wasn't going to do this. I even took an antihistamine to dry up my tear ducts. But yeah, I'm just feeling fragile, and this is where we can be real with each other, and I'm just being real with you guys, and I love you all, and this is why we need this place, and this is why we need Jesus. We need each other. And so, yeah. And this was... This is the message for all of you here, for your loved ones, and for me, too. So thank you for being here. I don't mean to start it out like that, but I just got to get that out so I can forge ahead, move forward. And that's what we moms do, right? We forge ahead. We keep it together. So... I just thank you for being here. We're in the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, and we're going to find our first slide. There we go. The fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is, as in Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today's message is on goodness. So you may or may not know that I teach art to pre-K, and I'm going after this, and I can't wait to get their hugs, pre-K to fifth graders. And just going in and having someone come up to you and say, Miss Alicia, you're the best art teacher I've ever had. I'm like, thank you. Like, you made my day. You made my week. But just, you know, they're just so sweet. And mostly we do talk about art. And I give them a little art lesson. We just don't go do a craft. Like, and they get it. I'll teach them one-point perspective. These little four-year-olds can get this stuff. And I'll give them a little picture from a museum. I'll show them, what does this make you feel like? Why do you think that is? You know, and then we'll do an art project. So it's so much fun. It's such a joy. And when it clicks, and then I stand back and I say, Caden, look what you made today. You did this. And they stand there and they go, I love it. Like, they're just so happy. It gives them a... They're so proud of what they do, and they just want to be seen and heard. And so I just love, it's really all for me. No, just kidding. I do love teaching them art, but boy, do I get so much joy out of being with them. Anyway, back to what I was going to say. We do talk about art, but sometimes they go off on a tangent, and I kind of have to steer them back. So they talk about everything. But, you know, one day this girl says, Miss Alicia, how do you get home? I'm like, after this? And she said, yeah. And I go, well, I drive. And she said, you're old enough to drive by yourself, right? I'm not kidding. And I said, indeed I am. And she said, well, don't you get lonely? And I went, well, it's not that far. And sometimes I turn on my music. And she said, and then she must have thought, oh my gosh, that's so awful. So, and then, because she then suggested, if you get lonely, you could fill up your car with all your stuffies. I went, why, thank you. I'll look and see if I save my stuffed animals, and I'll fill up my car so I won't be lonely. What a good idea. So they just come up with the cutest things. But what I loved about that was, it was pure goodness from the bottom of her heart. I didn't ask for help. I didn't ask for advice. I didn't ask, you know, hey, do you have any ideas? Like, it was pure goodness trying to foresee something in my life and trying to make my life better from a little first grader, trying to make my day better, like thinking of me, looking out for me. To me, that was just such a God moment of pure goodness. All right. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being here today and for your message on goodness. We thank you that you are greater than any arrow that comes our way, Lord. You are greater than our fears, our trials and tribulations, challenges, going from a mountaintop into a valley. Lord, you are with us in every and in all circumstance. And Lord, I just thank you for the fruit of the Spirit and for these talks where we can dig a little deeper into your word and your message. Be with us today as we open our hearts and ears, and may we grow closer to each other and also to you. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, this is a, as you can tell, a very fruitful orchard. The Bible, the message, takes a different approach to setting up the fruit of the Spirit passage. Instead of most Bibles which say, but the fruit of the Spirit is, it kind of lays it out in black and white. The message reads, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. And I just love that. What a beautiful picture. Living in God's way, an orchard not dry, ignored, barren, withering, but watered, tended to, blooming, thriving, alive with fruit, his goodness. If you look up the word goodness in the dictionary or on your phone, like I did, the first definition that might pop up is the state or quality of being good. And it seems rather one-dimensional, so I dug a little deeper, and the Greek word for goodness is agathosune. I had to look up how to pronounce that as well. Agathosune, and that means an uprightness of heart and life. Isn't that beautiful? That's much richer. It's like how we think of love, and then you hear the word agape love, which is more all-encompassing. Same with goodness. It's more, it's richer, deeper. It has a much richer component. It's more radical than our English word. So an uprightness of heart and life. So not only the state or quality of being good, but added to this is doing good. It has an action component. A person with an uprightness of heart and life knows good, is good, and does good things. So let's look at the first component, the heart. Our best example, I'm going to turn this off now, Kim. Maybe we'll just go back to, yeah, okay. Such a pro. Let's look at our best example, God. So you may have memorized the dinnertime prayer, which my grandma had it on a wooden plate in her kitchen. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. Amen. Anybody do that one? Easy to remember. Or you may see a text thread or an email thread where someone says, you know, you're announcing a wonderful thing happening in your family or a healing or a success, a mountaintop moment. And you say, God is great. And someone will respond, all the time. God is good, all of the time. That's a standard thing that we do. So in Scripture, we read, indeed, God is good. In fact, God is good all the time is from Scripture. It's a quick summary from 2 Corinthians 9:8, which reads, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In summary, God is good all the time. other scriptures, all of the following that I'm going to read, are found in the book of the Psalms, proclaiming God's goodness include, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing his name." And it goes on and on. There's so many references in the Bible of God's goodness. It's difficult to wrap our minds around how good God is. Consider this summary by a biblical scholar who writes, "Not only is God good, but he is consistently and continuously good, not just sometimes good and sometimes bad, and not both good and bad, but always good." Do we truly think of God in this way, that God is good all the time? What about when life gets tough? When you just have a week where you're attacked? When we experience a bump in the road, do we think, "Oh, my child is sick, God is good. I lost my job, God is good. My friend or loved one or I am going through something difficult, God is good." We usually save that when someone has been healed, promoted, reconciled. We seldom think or add this sentiment when life is tough. If we only think that God is good when life is good, we are putting God in a box. We may start to doubt his goodness when there are bumps in the road, or when we or someone we know is living in the desert or lost. Saying God is good all the time is true, but we can deepen our understanding of this when we can truly believe it and trust the last part, all the time. Even saying it aloud during the challenging times in our lives, whether we are in a good place or not, whether we feel like it or not, our state of being and our feelings may change, but God does not change. He is good when you are on top of the mountain. He is good when you are in the valley. He is good when you are found. He is good when you are lost. He is good when you are healthy. He is good when you are sick. He is good all of the time. This is opposite to our way of thinking because, of course, we're human. We're broken. I believe I'm sometimes a pretty good person. I believe I know when something is good, the knowing good part. On many and maybe even multiple occasions, I am good, the doing part. So I try to do good things. But the truth of the matter is, I am not consistently and continuously good. I mess up all the time. God knows this, and this is why we need Jesus. My brokenness is an opportunity daily to surrender myself to him. With the help of the Holy Spirit, the character of goodness can be reshaped and refined in me. That's God's desire for us. 2 Peter 1:5 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge." Now remember that God does not promise that we won't have challenges in life. In fact, he does promise the opposite. As he says in the Bible, "In this world you will have trouble." That's in John 16. But there is a promise immediately attached to that. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Those go hand in hand. It doesn't leave you hanging. "But take heart, I have overcome the world. I am greater than," empty blank, fill it in. "I am greater than. I have," but take heart, "I have overcome the world." The truth is, God is good all the time. I'm going to tell you a little story about our kids. So when our kids were home and we were all together at the dinner table, many times, I don't know how this started, but many times someone would start the conversation by blurting out, "Best and worst part." And oftentimes it was me, as I knew something happened at school and I wanted to see if it would come out, if it would be shared. This was a good way to not only celebrate our joys and successes, but also to share and acknowledge that life doesn't always feel good or go our way. There will be bumps in the road. It's just a fact of life. So each child had different friends, activities, and interests. But this one simple tradition where we all shared, including Spencer and me, mom and dad, it helped bind us together as a family. I didn't realize it at the time. But it was a simple way to, instead of focusing on, hey, I got an A on my test, I made the team, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, or Spencer, you know, hey, I had a great day at work. It was a way to also acknowledge together that not only do we share each other's successes, but we as a family share the bumps in the road too. I forgot my homework. I have to retake my test. I got in trouble. I got sent to the principal's office. Oh, okay. You know, I can't hang out with so-and-so anymore. Huh, you want to share about that? You know, like deeper. I might not have known that. Or Spencer, maybe I'm dealing with a challenge at work. So yes, parents have bumps in the road too. So sharing brought us closer as a family. And our oldest, Natalie, is home right now. We're, as Christy said, you're a safe landing place. But she is home right now, and once in a while we still do it. So she'll go, best and worst part, or I'll say it. So it's really a wonderful tradition. You may have heard of it in another way, roses and thorns. Roses being the best part of your day, thorns the worst part of your day. But regardless, mine was kind of the no-nonsense, best and worst part. It combines thanking God for his provisions while at the same time acknowledging both the beauty and the messiness of life. And we experience it together and still do. I just talked to my son on the phone yesterday, and I told him I was going to say that. And I go, do you remember we do best and worst part? He's like, yeah. And he goes, Mom, tell the what I'm getting out of that is God also wants us to come to him with all this. We're his, like us, we kids did that. The kids did that, and we shared the best and worst part, but we are God's children. He wants us to come to him with the best and worst part, with all of it. And that brings you closer in God's family. I'm like, okay, you're right. Yeah, that's right. That's what God wants of us. He wants it all. He knows it all. Let's bring it all to him. Let's now consider the action component, the life part of the agathosune, an uprightness of heart and life. To develop with the Holy Spirit the full sense of the word goodness, our best example, again, is God. So his first reveal of goodness was creating the heavens and the earth, water, sky, light, darkness, animals, and so on in Genesis. He said, it is very good. His creation was perfect, just as he designed. Proclaiming it as good reflects his character, power, and nature. He, the one who is truly good, created perfect goodness for all of us. This was, of course, before the fall of man. Everything was perfect, as only he can do. Every good and perfect gift is from heaven, coming down from God. It says in James. But after the fall, God revealed his ultimate goodness by sending his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. As if that's not enough goodness, he piles it on. Read in, I will not give you all the scripture, I have them here if you would like them, but he loves us, Romans 5:8, blesses us, chooses us, accepts us, redeems us, forgives us, sustains us, is our resting place, refreshes our souls, and guides us when we are confused, will not leave us, gives us comfort, will be good no matter what, and he will take me to heaven one day. That's so much goodness, I can't think about it. I can't wrap my mind around it. So much goodness. So God is a standard for all that is good. What does this mean for us? How are we to understand this and come to terms with this? It might help if we think about who God is and who we are. Not who we aren't, but who we are. God is perfect. We are imperfect. God is always right. We mess up all the time. God is holy. We are sinful. God is always good. We are not. And God's goodness is too big for all of us all the time to understand. So we can respond to this, I believe, in four ways. You may come up with more. But I believe, first of all, as it does say in Scripture, we are to come to him with thanksgiving. This can be our first response. It's too big to comprehend, but we can do that. We can come to him with thanksgiving. We can focus on God, not on our shortcomings, and turn our, sometimes all-consuming, thoughts of not measuring up into praise. Knowing his perfect nature and our imperfect nature should prompt us to come to him with a grateful heart. It says in Psalm 107:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I mean, I should wake up saying that every morning. Lord, let me give thanks to you. You are good. Your love endures forever. Number two, we are to come to him and take refuge in him. And ask yourself, be honest, where do I take refuge? Do I rely on my own abilities in a situation I have no control over? Do I seek comfort in material possessions? Do I take refuge in distractions? Overworking? He invites us to seek him and follow him. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Spend time with him. Read the Bible, pray, seek his guidance, listen. Taking refuge in him requires only one thing from us, to say yes to the invitation. Number three, we are called to remember his goodness. The Bible gives us many examples of people who forget God's goodness. Adam in the Garden of Eden, then Noah, then the Israelites. And isn't that just like us? To forget God's miracles in our lives, to forget the way in which he has provided for us, to forget his promises. Forgetfulness reflects our fallenness. We forsake because we forget. When we focus on ourselves and not God, it's a recipe for disaster. And I don't want us to feel guilty about that. That's human nature. We focus on ourselves. Like, what can I do? What should I be doing? How can I fix this? But that is not going to help. We do need to take action. Don't get me wrong. But what happens when we forget God's goodness in a situation in our lives, according to Pastor Rick Warren, he says, number one, when we forget God's goodness, we start taking credit for things God did. When we forget God's goodness, number two, we stop asking God for help. Number three, when we forget God's goodness, we stop trusting God in difficult times. When we forget God's goodness, number four, we become pessimistic about the future. And he also says, Rick Warren says, a lack of focusing on God's goodness, he believes, is the major cause of stress in our lives. Blood pressure, anyone? So coming to him with thanksgiving and praise when times are good and when times are bad deepens our faith. Another way we can understand God's goodness in full is number four, we are called to reflect his character out into the world, to those we love, with coworkers, even people we find to be difficult. We can reflect him when we know him. For instance, can I respond to this person as Christ would? Lord, help me do that right now. Can I show this person how much I love them no matter what, as Christ would? Am I patient with my loved ones as Christ is with me? Can I be this person's place of refuge? Maybe when I'm not even feeling it, Lord, give me the strength to be this person's place of refuge. I need you to fill me up because I'm spent. Can I accept them, sustain them, bless them? So that's reflecting his character out into the world. So the way we reflect, or in summary, our response to God's goodness are to come humbly before him with our brokenness, pray with praise and thanksgiving. Second, take refuge in him. Third, remember his goodness, the things he has done, is doing, and will continue to do forever and ever. We are also called to reflect his character and reflect his goodness. So I'll close with a thought, because I do have a friend like this, but do you, and it's such a blessing, thank you, God, do you have a friend or a family member where you're so close that you see something, a text or something, and you think, oh, she'd love that, or she'd think that's funny, or I know how she would respond to this. Like, do you have a friend who's that close? Or this would break her heart, whatever. We tend to call that friend, email them, keep in touch with them, share things with them. The mundane, the big stuff, the challenging things, we share with that person. You might say you're in tune with each other. Even if it has been some time since you've last seen them or spoken with them, you pick up right where you left off. That is truly a good relationship to be cherished, full of goodness. This is the depth of the relationship filled with goodness that God wants with us. To know him this well, to be in tune with us, a lifelong friend. There are countless times we don't come to him, we don't take refuge in him, don't remember what he's done for us, and we don't reflect his goodness. We don't remember his promises. But the good news is, he is waiting to pick up right where we left off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for consistently and continuously showing us, lavishing us with your goodness. It's too much for us to comprehend. Help us to not focus on the shortcomings that may come our way, attacks that may, arrows that may come at us, Lord, help us to not focus on those things, but to focus on you, to come to you with a grateful heart, to remember your promises, to reflect your goodness. Lord, we want to reflect your goodness at home with our friends and out into the world. Be with us as we share with each other, and be with us this week. In your name we pray. Amen.